You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter, that's at Joe Kilgallen. Hey, if you like stand-up comedy, check out my YouTube channel. That is youtube.com/Joe Kilgallen. It's not kid-friendly. I'll just throw that out there right now. This podcast is, though, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter. That's at Locked On Cubs. All right, I'm going to recap the All-Star game that was last night's Midsummer Classic between the National League and the American League. I think you could guess who won. The American League has won their eighth straight All-Star game. They had the overall lead. There was a time in which the National League dominated. That time has not really happened in my lifetime. I think we had like a 3 or 4 game streak last decade, but it's been mostly an American League just demolishing of my beloved National League. I'll talk about that. Also, some interesting things in regards to Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant was mic'd up and he was talked to by none other than Joe Buck about his future. So we'll get into that. Plus some other interesting comments from former Cubs, current All-Stars, Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber. Plus some baseball rules. Rob Manfred had a press conference in which he was asked about some of the upcoming rules in Major League Baseball and what he was going to do about those. All that and more. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Locker Room, everybody. Spotify Green Room, I apologize. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our lockdown rooms. Okay, the All-Star game was last night. But before I get into that, here's a quote I want to read right up top. Chris Bryant was asked while he was mic'd up playing left field for the National League All-Stars about the trade rumors. And then he was also asked about playing different positions. And he said playing the different positions, what was nice about that was it kind of blocked out all the noise, meaning the trade rumors. Does Chris Bryant want to be in Chicago? He's a Boris client. He's not going to extend here. All things that he, of course, has said are not true. And here's what he says to even further cement his opinions. He says, right now, I still got the Cubs on my chest, and I am proud of that. Proud to play for such an unbelievable city, and until they tell me I'm not, I'm going to go out there and give it all I've got. Chris Bryant should be a Cub for the rest of his career. I really mean that. What has happened in Major League Baseball? And I know it's become popular in sports in general. The NBA is people switching teams every few years and going to play with their buddies and whatever. That's a whole different thing. But there was a time in Major League Baseball where when you had a franchise player, he was your guy. And he was going to be in that uniform for a very long time. Now, the Cubs have that guy in Chris Bryant. Let's look at his career. This is his 7th season. Not even the full season yet. At the end of the year, it'll be 7 seasons. All with the Cubs. Rookie of the Year, 2015. World Series Champion MVP, 2016. 2017. Another could have argued had a better offensive season than he did in 2016. 2018 had the injury. 2019 regained some form back to being an all-star. 2020 pandemic season, has his first kid, a lot going on. Trade rumors at an all-time high, has a dud of a year. He'll be the first to admit that. I'm not going to act like he had a good year. He didn't. He had a bad season. Battled some injuries. You know it. 2021 comes roaring back, plays at an MVP pace in April, May, loses it in June. Turning out a little bit of late, he is. You know, the bases cleared double the other day. Still, though, makes the All-Star team for the 4th time. You have a 4-time All-Star in 7 seasons. You have an MVP, a Rookie of the Year, World Series champion. It is and a great citizen, a great representation of what you want your players to be. And yet, we're thinking, oh, what prospects could we get for him? That is just not how the 4th richest team in baseball, or 4th most valuable, however you want to spin it, besides the Red Sox, Yankees, and Dodgers, the Cubs are number 4, according to Forbes, in this 3rd biggest market in the country in Chicago. That's just not how the Cubs should be behaving. They should be acting like a big league team, like a major franchise, like a major player on the national scene. And it's alarming. It really is. Because, again, it says something to the other free agents out there. I really believe that. It says something like, go to the Cubs. Like, you know, we're going to sign with the Cubs and get traded in a few years like they did to Yu Darvish. They're putting out bad vibes. Bad vibes all around. Not into it. And I don't understand what it's going to take for them to understand that, too. There is no reason for the Cubs not to be able to sign Chris Bryant. They have so much money. So much money. $12 beers. I don't even know what a hot dog costs. Rent for a studio apartment? Not sure. It's become absurd. And of course, I know this Cubs team needs a makeover, whatever you want to say. A retooling, a reshifting, a re-something or other. I get it. I'm not saying trot out the same team in 2022. Nobody thinks that. But Chris Bryant should be the guy, of all the guys, is the one you extend. He's been the best player over the last 7 years. He has been the most flexible in terms of where he could play and not complaining about it. Not complaining about it. You want me left? I'm there. Center field? Why not? He actually said they asked him of all of his favorite positions. This was during like the red carpet thing they do for Major League Baseball's All-Star game. What's your favorite position to play, Chris? He said with very little hesitation, center field. A little surprising. He's looked good out there, though. I can't recall a moment where I thought to myself, this man looks out of place. So again, he could play all three outfield positions, corner outfield spots. I'm sure he could play a fine second base. Shortstop, they didn't really want him there. But, you know, in a pinch where it's like, all right, we're in extra innings. We need you to shift over because of some weird, someone got injured. Okay, fine. But that's my point, though. And even when he's going bad, he's not quite giving away at bats the way Javi does. You like his health to hold up. I know people say, oh, well, he seems to miss time all the time. Look, the latest of him sitting, we're not fools. We know that was because they don't want to hurt any trade value. That's going to happen. Javi's missed some time the past month and a half, month or so, a little over a month maybe. Remember, the thumb thing has been lingering around. He's sad. He's come back a couple days later. Neither of them have been put on the IL for it. And neither has Rizzo. So that makes me question even his back issues, which I know they've sprung up here and there, but Anthony Rizzo, again, has not missed significant time since the end of the 2014 season. Since 2015 on, he's played at least 150 games, 145 games, I believe it was, obviously not counting the pandemic year last year. But I wanted to get that narrative out of the way. Also, how does Joe Buck get to do all these big events? I don't think Joe Buck is as bad as people say, but I don't think he's very good either. Not to the point where every event of my existence as a sports fan, I have to hear his voice. Super Bowl, Joe Buck. World Series, Joe Buck. All-Star Game, Joe Buck. Annoying commercials, Joe Buck. It's like, come on. Is there not anyone new out there? There's got to be some very talented people out there we should be giving a shot to. Because I don't know anybody who's like, ooh, it's a Joe Buck broadcast. Let's get excited. At least with Bob Costas, and I know people like to knock him a little bit too, I knew he was going to nail the big call. I've never thought Joe Buck's done all that great a job. Think of the Cubs 2016 Game 7 World Series. He had some great calls throughout that playoff run, and I'll give him that. The best one being the NLCS Game 1 Grand Slam of one Miguel Montero. It was a tie game. He unties it, and he's like, Grand Slam Montero, Game 1 hero. That was cool. I like the way he did that. But this is going to be a tough play. The Cubs finally win it all. 8-7-10. Like, you know, finally win it all. That was the big thing. I'm pretty sure it was him. 2004 Red Sox. I'll give him all the credit. He nailed that one. A little bouncer to Folk. Keith Folk was the guy's name. Keith Folk was the closer. He was with the White Sox before the Red Sox. Loves playing for teams that end with Sox, I should say. And then he's like, Boston, you've longed to hear it. You know, and that was cool. Because Boston had longed to hear it, and the Cubs had longed to hear it. I'm not saying he should have ripped that one off. Some people knocked Pat Hughes' call a little bit, saying it wasn't his best call. I was okay with it because it was raw emotion. Delirious 10-year-olds, maybe it didn't flow off the tongue. But he basically said a little bounce over to Bryant, to Rizzo, it's in time. The Cubs win the World Series. I like this one. He says, the longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins. And then, of course, he also says, it's never felt better to fly the W. I'm getting all teary-eyed thinking about this. I don't know. Still just a little bit annoyed, angered. Every time I think I'm coming to acceptance with the fact that some of my favorite players are going to be off this team, I get mad all over again. And I think as fans, we should be mad. We really should be. I still think, you know, I love Javi, but I still think he's, if I had to let go of one of the three, it should be him. Contreras, you have for another year, and catcher is a tough position, even though they got Miguel Maya knocking on the door. I just think for the sake of, we have to strike out way less. Now, if they could figure out a way to keep Javi, Rizzo, Bryant, I still don't know. I feel like one of them might benefit being somewhere else. But I just don't think you let go of a guy like Chris Bryant. It makes me think of Greg Maddux all over again. For you younger listeners, the Cubs had the 1992 Cy Young Award winner, Greg Maddux. It was a guy they had drafted, a guy who won a lot of games for them. But he was really coming into his own starting in the 1992 season. How much did he come into his own? Well, he won the Cy Young Award 4 seasons in a row. The first of which with the Cubs, the next three with Atlanta. He was phenomenal. He's one of the greatest right-handed pitchers of all time. Probably top 10, top 15 greatest pitcher of all time. I don't know. I have to really dig deep. He won 15 ball games or more, 15 seasons in a row. And I know wins are not, you know, it's a stat of yesteryear. It feels like there's better stats to measure how great a pitcher is. And trust me, in those stats, he's right up there as well. The Cubs, he went over to Atlanta, signed with them. The reports were it was over just a measly little, another half million bucks or something like that. And they could have kept him. But instead, he went over to Atlanta to solidify a great pitching rotation. The Braves went to the playoffs like 14 years in a row. We ended up signing him back in the 2004 season. Or was it 2005? No, it was 2004 season. And that was nice. He had a couple decent years for us. But he was more of a back-end rotation guy at that point of his career. But still, it was something that haunted us. And I feel like not re-signing Chris Bryant could be just the same. Okay, we'll be talking about the All-Star game and who won the MVP and all that good stuff in just a moment. Freshly, everybody, we all know dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. We're all trying to get in shape and eat right. Freshly can help. Their delicious meals are designed by nutritionists and cooked by chefs to make it easier for you to eat better. You stressed, you tired, just don't feel like cooking? Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. So here's the deal. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. So stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/lockedon for your $40 off your first two orders. Can't beat that. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. This app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on the Green Room app to host watch parties, some debates, you know, have some fun, get into it, post-game breakdowns, and more. You can even find lockdown hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL. So go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NFL MLB group for the latest league updates. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, the American League won, as I stated earlier. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was your MVP. His father hit a home run in the All-Star game in 2006, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., we have to call him now. Back then, he was just Vlad Guerrero. And the two of them now are the third set of father and sons who have homered in the All-Star game. The other two, as you could guess it, was Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds, and Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. The winning pitcher for the game was Shohei Ohtani, who had a 1-2-3 inning and went 0-for-2 at the plate as the DH as well. What a phenomenal player he is. He has been unbelievable. And that's one of the things that was actually nice about this All-Star game, because every year they try to hype stuff up, or, you know, I get it, they're trying to get fans excited. But some years it's like insulting if you're a everyday fan of Major League Baseball. You know, every now and then there'll be a guy where it's like, this guy, a 97 mile an hour fastball, unbelievable. It's like, we've seen that before. But really, Shohei Ohtani is something we have not seen. None of us are old enough to recall Babe Ruth, and he only pitched for the first few years of his career anyway. So what Shohei Ohtani's doing is definitely worth going nuts for. So I like that. I like the hype train that's been behind him. He seems like a great guy. And of course, I don't know if you guys have came across this, but Stephen A. Smith did say some really idiotic remarks about Shohei Ohtani that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, he kind of made it seem like American baseball fans wouldn't embrace a Japanese superstar, which is like, dude, Ichiro, not even that long ago. Like, where's your memory these days? So completely ignorant statement that he has since apologized for. I have to mention that. I feel like it'd be bad if I didn't, because, you know, when people apologize, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I do. Some apologies are worse than others, though, as we all know. All right, breaking down the box score here a little bit. Let's see the losing side of things for the National League. Tatis Jr. went 0-2. He was replaced by Crawford and Turner. Both did nothing at the plate. Trey Turner, what a phenomenal year he's having, by the way. He is hitting nearly .320 with 17 home runs and can run like the wind. Plays a great shortstop, too. Max Muncy was the DH. He went 0-2. Arenado, in a homecoming of sorts, got a nice ovation from the Denver crowd, which was cool to see for Nolan Arenado. He also went 0-2. Manny Machado took over for third at third base, replacing him. You know, I could edit that out, but I'm not going to, because you guys know I'm a real guy. Okay, we don't need to fluff it up. Freddie Freeman went 1-2. Nick Castellanos, who I will be talking about a little bit more, went 0-2. Winker, 0-1. He did draw a walk. KB, let's talk about Chris Bryant. He took over for Winker in left field. First at bat, came up with the bases loaded. Struck out. Real bummer to see. It was a two-out, bases loaded situation. And then his next time up, also came up with the bases loaded. There was a wild pitch, which brought in Manny Machado. So second and third, two outs for Chris Bryant again. He swings a 3-0 pitch, laces it, rocket off the bat, one of those sinking line drives, but the right fielder, Walsh, made a nice sliding, diving catch to rob Chris Bryant of a couple RBI right there. Bummer to see. So Chris Bryant, though, left 5 on base. Isn't that Cub? Isn't that just the way Cubs players have been this season? Real Muto hit the big bomb for the National League. He went deep. Other than that, the pitching just wasn't there. Burns, who'd been so fantastic with the Brewers, hopefully this leads to some second half meltdowns for him. He gives up 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk. The guy never walks anyone, walks someone. Maybe he had the jitters. Maybe he was a little scared at the national stage, right? He did strike out 2. The other blow was Rodgers gave up 2. They were unearned, some shaky defense. And then Walker gave up a solo shot to the Rays catcher. And you know what's funny? With all the miking of players, Liam Hendricks for the White Sox was miked at the end. And he doesn't seem like the type of guy who'd want to be miked. But he had it in his ear, and they started trying to talk to him, and he just wasn't responding. So then it was like, is he ignoring them, or can he not hear them? And it was pretty abundant that he was like, this is dumb. I'm not the type of guy to do this. I think he probably thought, it's the All-Star game, sure. But then as soon as he got on the mound, he's like, wait a minute, I'm a competitor. I wanted to hear him talk because he's got that cool Australian accent. I love a good Australian accent. How could you not, right? It was played in front of 49,184 fans at Coors Field. The time was 3 hours on the head. 3-hour game. Looked like a beautiful 84-degree day in Denver, Colorado. I still like the All-Star game. It's not as much fun as it used to be. They need to get rid of these stupid uniforms. Go back to one of the cool things was everyone wearing their own uniform, because then everyone got to be like, oh, there's my guy. My city's represented. Instead, they had this horrendous design, too. It looked like clip art with the team's original logos on top of it. And then they had these gaudy hats. You know, anything to make a buck. Huh, Major League Baseball? Well, I hope this failed miserably. But here's the thing. They'll justify it. Even if a few idiots out in America decide, I want this ugly jersey, that'll be enough for them to be like, still worth it. We'll still keep making them. Why not? People already know what the regular uniforms look like. We'll keep ruining things. It's almost like Major League Baseball is on a 3 or 4 year campaign these last few years to really destroy their game. Getting rid of the lower levels of minor leagues. Remember, they got rid of a ton of minor league baseball teams. That was horrendous. That's a bad way to grow the game. Because a lot of people, say you live in a city, a small town that's got an A team. You know, South Bend Cubs luckily stuck around. But say you South Bend's a little different because you're so close to Chicago. But like a Eugene, Oregon, which they got picked up by someone else, an affiliate, but they were a former affiliate of the Cubs. You watch some of those players, you might think to yourself, you know what? When the Cubs are up in Seattle, I'll go there. Or maybe you grew up rooting for the Cubs because of it. And then all of a sudden it's your 21st birthday. You're like, let's go to Chicago. Everyone goes to Vegas for their 21st. We'll go to Chicago. We'll take in a Cubs game. It's cheap. I'm not blaming the Cubs particularly, but I'm saying Major League Baseball as a whole hurt their product by doing such a thing like that. I don't understand that. You know, keep what people like and then look to add and fix around that. Another thing from the All-Star game was our local media here in Chicago got to chat. They did a little chit-chatting with two former Cubs, one of which was All-Star Nick Castellanos, and the other of which was All-Star Kyle Schwarber. Now get to say All-Star in front of their names. I always believed Kyle Schwarber was going to be an All-Star. I really did. I'm a huge fan of Kyle Schwarber, always will be. You know, there are some weird circumstances that happen in the game of baseball, and I think the 2020 season was one of those. I really believe Kyle Schwarber turned it around in the 2019 season. He had a monster second half. Everyone talks about what Nick Castellanos did for the Cubs those final 2 months in 2019. Kyle Schwarber was better during the same period of time. He finished that year with 38 home runs, 870 OPS, 92 RBI. He just looked like the Kyle Schwarber that first came into the league in 2015 and World Series of 2016, a guy that just did not care who was pitching. He went up there and he was going to put a hurting on that baseball. Just had a swagger about him. Just stood in the box and pitchers looked afraid of him. That's what he did. And even in the two playoff games we had last year where we lost to the Marlins both games, he drew a few walks because you could tell pitchers still have that, this guy, I don't really want to put it there. And did anyone get more screwed by bad umping than Kyle Schwarber? I don't really think so. They asked Kyle, what do you think about this core of the Cubs being broken up? And right away he said, well, I feel the most for the fans. I feel bad for the fans because I know they're going to be heartbroken over this. And then he said, for my friends, I don't feel bad for them because they're going to be just fine. They're going to be great baseball players wherever they play. So it's almost one of those things where he was telling the fans, hey, we feel you. We as players who are part of this World Series winning team, we feel you. And he did mention we did a great thing, and I hope everyone looks back on that with happiness. What we accomplished in 2016 was truly amazing, and of course we wanted to keep doing that. We wanted to win more. We weren't satisfied with just the one. He wanted the fans to really know that. See, these guys pay attention to the narrative that's out there. How could they not? They're dialed into the same digital world we all are. I'm sure they listen to some podcasts. If you're listening, Kyle, I miss you. You know, but that's just something to think about as fans. These guys really do care. Why wouldn't they? I mean, they might get frustrated. There might be times where they lose focus here or there, but trust me, they want to win. And he also made a good point, though, too, where it's like, hey, it's hard to win a World Series. The Dodgers only finally won last year, breaking through. Imagine Atlanta had a 3-1 lead over the Dodgers in the playoffs last year. If Atlanta would have held on, there was like one little play where if it went the other way, Atlanta wins, and then the Dodgers yet again fall short. So it's one of those things where we could analyze to death what went wrong these last few years. Why didn't they win more? Why weren't they the dynasty we thought they might have been? Because again, they did win so young that we kind of thought, oh, this is going to be a team that goes back a few times. We can analyze all that to death. There's going to be books written probably, like I've hinted at before. Not me. I'm not writing a book about it. It'd be too depressing. But I'm sure there might be a 30 for 30. Who knows what's going to happen? But do not look back in anger because, again, this was a successful run. Any run that wins a World Series is a successful run. Nick Castellanos' comments were about how when he played in Detroit, it was depressing. You know, poor city Detroit. I've got family from just outside of Detroit. It's a nice area, and I've heard that they're on the rebound as a city. But, you know, he was on some bad teams there. And it was kind of like, I'm just surviving playing the game of baseball. That's what he said. And then went from surviving to thriving. He said the city of Chicago reignited a passion for baseball. He looked forward to going to the ballpark. They have 40,000 strong cheering you on. It changed everything for him. And he credits that to the Cubs and Cubs fans in particular. So it's one of those things where it's like, you hear this from both of these guys and you're like, why couldn't they figure this out? And a lot of people get in that thing where it's like, was it Schwarber or Castellanos one hit to go? I think you could have Castellanos in right field, Schwarber in left, and Hayward, you could have moved over to center. You know, and then Ian Happ, you could have tried at second base. That's where he came up and all that. There was a way to keep him, is my point. When you have a guy that did that much damage in such a short period of time, this is why I'm convinced that Theo and Judd wanted to keep him. I know they're smart guys, they're analytical and stuff like that, and they don't let emotion get involved with it. But there had to be part of them where it's like, this guy makes us look like geniuses. We traded for him, and he was instantly awesome. One of our better trades. Why wouldn't we want to extend this guy and keep the good times coming? But the Ricketts said no. And I know it's like, well, they were over the luxury tax. But listen, everyone, for every dollar, you get taxed on going over it. So if you're at $220 million, it's not a 30% tax on your $220 million. $220 million would be about $10 million over. So you're taxed on the $10 million that you're over. And I think, so it was a few million dollars is the tax. So my point is, once you're over, you might as well go up to that next tier. The tier before it becomes you lose draft pick status. Because if you get over to that top tier, they knock you back like 10 more picks or something like that. So then it becomes like a serious thing. But the Cubs could have done it. They could have kept Castellanos is my point. And it's going to be, it's a hard thing to forgive for a lot of fans. Built Bar, everybody. Available this week only. Check this out. Get the new Built Bar flavor, Grasshopper Cookie. What does that taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint cookie. We all know. You guys love the Girl Scout cookie, right? All the flavor without all that sugar. That's my big thing with Built Bar, is it's a nutritional bar that is actually nutritional. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. That's a big one, okay? Other flavors include coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, my fave, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. How about that? So here's what you guys want to do. You want to head on over to builtbar.com. Here's the offer. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Rob Manfred was interviewed just the other day. This was during the Home Run Derby festivities, in which he talked about some of the rules. He and Tony Clark are meeting this weekend, and the big CBA, negotiations between the players' union and the owners, is going to happen this offseason. Could be scary times for us baseball fans. You know, a lot of people believe a strike was going to happen going into this year. Hopefully, cooler heads prevail, and they figure out a way to compromise so everyone's happy. But a couple of the rules are that the 7-inning doubleheaders, that's out. The runner at second base in extra innings, that sounds like it's out as well, which good. I definitely think, though, if they were to do something like that, like after the 12th inning or the 13th, I'd be okay with that. That's a compromise. Would I prefer just the way we've been doing it? Yes, I have no problem with it. I do think baseball could pick up the pace a little bit, but I'm also not one of those fans that's annoyed by that. Because a lot of times when games are really long, it's because there's a lot of offense going on. And you're happy if you're at the ballpark. No one's ever like, well, you know, I was just at this 9-8 game, but it took 4 hours. No, you're having a blast. You're watching runs scored all the time. And if you're watching on TV, you know, there's other things you could do. You have to be glued. You got a commercial break, have some fun, go get some chips, get some dip. Now you got a little party going on in your house while you're watching the game. That's fun too. So I'm not one of those fans, but here's something that I do think they could do to speed things up a little bit. Because I was looking at like the average time of game way back in the day. And you talk to anyone over the age of 60 and they'll tell you guys did not step out of the batter's box every pitch like they do today. And somewhere along the line, coaches must have said, hey, there's no shot clock in this game. Take your time. Gather your thoughts. And every player thought, okay, I'll do that all the time. I think the new rule should be when there's two strikes, you could step out of the box. But you cannot, you're not stepping out of the box after you take ball one. I've literally seen plate appearances. The guy takes ball one low and away. It's not like it was up and in. You got to gather yourself low and away, and he steps out of the batter's box. Why? Get back in there, dude. That stuff like that. Pitch clock, I'm not against either. Speed it up a little bit. As much as I love you, Darvish, and hated that trade, that guy took forever. Not as bad as Pedro Baez and the Dodgers. When I lived in LA, I'd go to some Dodgers games here or there. You know, there are people always, that's the thing. It's a way bigger stadium. So there's always free tickets, I feel like, to get if you know anybody. And Pedro Baez, I remember one time, I had a few cocktails in me. And I remember screaming, everyone's changing the channel at home. Pitch the ball. Like, it was excruciating how long he held onto the ball. So a pitch clock, I'm into it. Keep yourself in the batter's box. Pitch clock. Here's my third one. Threw it out there on Twitter today. Some people seem to be okay with it. Other people, not so much. And that was the shift, because this is something Rod Manfred talked about. And he said, it's not even a new rule. It's just kind of going back the way things were. That was his point. It's like up until, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, nobody really shifted. What he would want to enforce, I guess is the word, is that you have to have two fielders on either side of second base. So your second baseman, if, you know, a big lefty's up to bat like a Kyle Schwarber, your second baseman could go all the way over to the line if they wanted to. They could do whatever they want, but the shortstop cannot join them on the other side of second base. And I think that's a good idea. I remember Theo Epstein talking about that too at one point, thinking that'll kind of encourage a more athletic game. You'd see more highlight reels, right? It would make teams think to themselves, well, the second baseman could hit, but he can't field at all. So it kind of reconfigured more athleticism to any sport, I believe, is a good thing. So that's why I'm a fan of that. I mean, you think about it, every other sport makes changes. I got a guy on my Twitter feed right now who made a very good point. My friend Mike Epsonhart, not sure if you're listening, but shout out to you, buddy. He goes, football has illegal formations, basketball has lane violations, hockey limited neutral zone trap. Baseball could do this as well. It will not change the game all that much. And to those of you out there where it's like, why don't they just bunt to stop the shift? The thing is, a lot of these big power hitters aren't good bunters. Well, they need to practice harder. Okay, and then they lose their power stroke. I don't know. And as far as like slapping it the other way, dude, are people not paying attention? These guys are throwing 97, 98, 100 mile an hour fast, but there's more guys who could throw in the mid to upper 90s than at any other point in human history. I'm not saying guys didn't exist like that before. I actually shared that clip on my Twitter feed, on the Locked On Cubs Twitter feed, of Andre Dawson taking 100 mile an hour Roger Clemens pitch to deep center. But there are more of them now. And the balls are breaking like crazy. I mean, we had to actually tell pitchers recently, stop spitting on the ball. Stop using KY. Stop using spider track. Stop using all sorts of sticky stuff. Whatever you're doing there, you're getting a little snot going on, stop it. It's gross. Getting all that spin right stuff. It's really hard to... Most hitters, they don't know where the ball's going off the bat. They're just trying to put, you know, solid contact on it. They're not thinking, all right, hopefully he throws me an outside fastball so I could hit it the other way. I mean, there are some guys who could do that, but it's few and far between. Very few and far between. All right, everyone, that has been the podcast for Wednesday, July 14th. Thank you so much for checking it out. Hopefully we got big things coming in store for us in the second half to keep it fun for everybody. Thank you for listening to the Lockdown. Check out Locked On Today, everybody. Get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.